Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and yes, the news is true, this podcast has been acquired by Oracle, because Bill Gates was too cheap to fucking put up the cash, bastard. And with me, I have...
Football has returned, and it's still very, very, very empty. That's mostly because of the lack of crowds, but that's a story for our other hellscape.
And
so far from the level garden. Okay, that's good. Can y'all get the Fall Netflix anime? Can somebody get Boost Academia series or NOVA 2? Get Devilman Crybaby, get that too. Somebody, please. And, oh yeah, Forever Guy, somebody get Curve on Tuesday.
I need my horny demons in proper, pristine Blu-ray quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what they said. Seconded.
Like, please, anybody that can do it well. Even some company that's having their thing tonight.
Oh yeah, that thing I have to be following later because time isn't real and neither are we.
Yeah. It's kind of cool not being real sometimes. Although for some reason I still have to pay taxes. Taxes that don't go to improve shit. But whatever, this is not an economics podcast. Thank God, who the fuck would want to listen to something as boring as that? Am I right? Nah, instead we just sit here and, you know, bitch about stuff. Well, half bitch, half praise. Anyway, here we are, episode 190. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Another week, barely surviving. I suppose it could be worse in some regards, but, yeah, as usual, I just want to skip to the point where we all collectively realize shit's fucked, we have to make a lot of changes, but, yeah, in more trivial news, I had a Travis Scott meal, and it was certainly a quarter pounder with all sorts of stuff on it.
Ah, yes, bacon and crunchy water.
Yeah, although I didn't get the burger with pickles because they're disgusting, or bacon because I don't want to have a heart attack at age 26. Yeah, it was very, very, very unremarkable.
But there's
probably a joke in there somewhere.
The joke is $90 chicken McNugget body pillows. Oh yeah, did we forget to mention that? Apparently there's now Travis Scott McDonald's merchandise, which does in fact include a $90 chicken McNugget body pillow. I have to say that again to repeat for emphasis.
God has truly abandoned us.
I wonder what cosplay their meaty waifu.
So, congratulations, everyone who ever bought a body pillow of the snake chick from Monster Musume. You are no longer the strangest person to have ever made a purchase like that.
I mean it. God has truly abandoned us and left us for dead. Because why else would I see a shirt with robot chicken Travis Scott on it? Also, Mick Foley should sue for copyright infringement because he went by Cactus Jack throughout most of his wrestling career in the 90s, and yeah, someone owes him some money.
Oh, I bet. Who knows how much he could get from royalties from those body pillow sales?
Ugh.
Oh god, now I'm just imagining Mick Foley body pillows. Do not want.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Oh boy.
You do not want that.
Yeesh. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
There's nothing remarkable that happened in Monday, to be honest. I can think of something, but I really can't, because, I don't know, it's either the same shit day in and day out. And, yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, as for me, not really much either. I mean, I did pop in Resident Evil 4 for, like, the 20th time. You know, gotta love that shooting zombies and, getting irritated at the translation for saying THE Los Illuminados or THE Las Plagas. You know, like saying THE Los Angeles Angels or ATM Machine or DC Comics. I'm only now noticing that now, and it's really bugging me. Goddamn grammar people. Jeez. But whatever. This is not a gaming podcast. There's other places you could listen to for that. Like, not the training stage. Anyway, with that obligatory roast out of the way, now we can jump into the usual business that we do here, starting with, of course, the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be the playlist down in the description, so you can follow along and pick up some new tunes to jam along to. Of course, our weekly discussions begin with the most recent cover, courtesy of 2 Minutes to Late Night. This week, it is a cover of the song Ever Again from the most recent Robin album, Honey. And as advertised, it is a cover in the style of Thin Lizzy. And your lineup here is as follows. Once again, putting in Troy Sanders from Mastodon on bass. We have Nate Garrett of Spirit Adrift on guitar. Melanie, I think that's how you pronounce the name, Parsons of Royal Thunder on vocals. And, of course, Ben Collar from Converge and Mutoid Man on the drums. Now, the original is a pretty mellow yet vibrant contemporary pop jam. Just really tight in the, you know, drums and the bass groove and everything. So, of course, updating it to a, or converting it to a Thin Lizzy-style song, definitely, you know, it translates as you'd expect, adding that kind of classic 70s rock swagger with that swinging big triplet shovel with occasional bursts of metal double kicks and those kind of soaring arena rock guitar solos and everything. It's all right. Honestly, personally, I think I still prefer the original, though, because it's Robin, and Robin is good.
Well, I can't say much about Robin since I don't know much about her, but I will say it is a pretty solid cover tune to jam out to, and I'm sure some people out there, because mathematically speaking, there is a good chance that somebody out there is asking why we talk about these cover songs. In cases like this, we talk about them because these are good people putting in some good work, because God knows we all need some more work nowadays with our current dystopian hellscape. And, you know, Mr. Guarcinio seems like a good enough dude to dedicate some time every week to talk about his covers. On the other hand, sometimes we talk about terrible covers just for clicks. Case in point.
Do we have to?
I mean, there's another one we could talk about, but I don't think either of us wants to mention it.
Oh, man. I don't wanna. But, you know, if we had to talk about, if Mark had to talk about Black Bear in the album roundup for the cringe and the clicks, I guess we're technically not above that, much as we might like to think. So,
we are above nothing. We're below everything.
So, yeah, I regret to inform you all that Disturbed is at it again. What is it, you may ask? What is it is they're covering old songs. In this case, they're covering the 90s hit song If I Ever Lose My Faith in You, originally by Sting. And, okay, so the original song, I guess might as well use that as a jumping off point. Like, I mean, it sounds like 90s boomer-approved soft rock. I don't know. Do I look like the kind of guy who has a vested interest in Sting's career? There's literally only one piece of musical output done in the 90s by a member of the Police that I give a shit about, and that's drummer Stuart Copeland soundtracking the first few Spyro games. Can you tell I'm under the age of 30? Anyway, as for the cover itself, yeah, this certainly sounds like the kind of needlessly dramatic, overblown cover that sounds like it could soundtrack literally half of all movie trailers that have come out in the past decade or so. Shit, it sounds like a bad Eggsy song. Which, I realize the phrase, bad Eggsy song, is redundant as hell, but still, you know, it tries to be all hugely dramatic in that opening half as it builds and builds to the Disturbed bullshit in the back half, and it's just, oh my god, are y'all really trying, like, are you so desperate for attention that you think you can replicate Sound of Silence again, something that never should have been attempted in the first place? Seriously, fuck that Sound of Silence cover, just, my god, man.
Okay, first, you say bad Eggsy song, so I'm sure all five people out there who are devout Eggsy fans are mad at you for daring to go against the wonderful verbose poetry of "We are dirt, we are alone, you know we're far from sober."
and to them I say, bring it. Denny's parking lot, 3 a.m., bring your boxing gloves or nothing, scrub.
So this is definitely early 90s Sting, so I don't know why they wanted to give this track the same treatment Ivan Moody and his backing band gave The Offspring's Gone Away.
Oh my god, you have to remind me of that too! Why? Yes.
Because the Rock Discord reminded me of it.
Oh god.
So I'm just passing it along. And yes, behold the end result of what happens when a middle of an album cover track becomes a runaway success. That success begets more tracks like it. Ironically, this is the end result of what happens when you can cross the covers of both The Sound of Silence and Land of Confusion together. It's definitely a thing that exists. And just for the record, we could have talked about this, or we could have talked about From Ashes to New covering fucking High Hopes.
Wait, that was a thing that happened?
That was the other thing that happened, yes.
You know, there are times when I'm glad I don't pay attention to certain sectors of music.
Once again, courtesy of the Rock Discord, because we're all a bunch of hooligans in there.
Y'all need a quality filter or something. Anyway, now that the trash is out of the way, let's move on to the next song here. So, contemporary shoegaze act Nothing is releasing a new album October 30th called The Grey Dismal. Following up 2018's Dance on the Blacktop, and we have the lead single Say Less. And, you know, not much to say. This sits in the pretty comfortable territory for anybody who's been following this band for the past decade or so. It's got a consistent sort of driving drum rhythm, that grooving bass line, those hazy guitar leads bursting with all kinds of echo and distorted vibes that feel in line with, like, you know, their whole shtick, kind of feeling like a modernization of 90s alt rock and whatnot. It's alright, it's not gonna change your mind if you've never been into this band in the past, and if you've already been into this band, well then, you know, good for you.
I have nothing more to say other than, yep, it's a solid shoegazy metal track, and yeah, that's all I got. Once again, a thing that exists, but serves more purpose than a Disturbed cover.
This is absolutely true. Now moving on to our next track here. Oh, hey, look at that. It's the Hatebreed Hour. Looks like they finally announced their newest album, Weight of the False Self, coming out November 27th. And we have the title track here. And, you know, this is pretty basic and straightforward. Basically, you know, kind of the slower, moshy jam set of things. Not as much of a propulsive energy. This one seems like it just kind of vibes as much as you can within the relative context of contemporary, you know, metallic hardcore shit. I do prefer my Hatebreed when it actually, like, you know, stomps on the gas and gets their D beat on and shit. And of course, the lyrics are that inspirational self about, you know, finding your true self, you know, breaking through the walls you built for yourself. And, you know, the more I listen to the lyrics, the more this sounds like a hardcore version of, like, when a character in a Persona game actually awakens their persona. Which, now that I think about it, there's an idea. Not a good idea, but an idea.
Yep, it's definitely more Hatebreed, I guess. It holds just as much weight as uncooked pasta. Preferably Jamie Josta's own brand of uncooked pasta.
Oh yeah, that's right. Apparently Josta pasta is a thing now. Because why not? If every other music guy is going to brand themselves in relation to food, why not at this point?
I mean, may as well. I mean, Lamb of God has their own coffee, which from what I hear is actually made here in Charlotte. So I got to get me some of that.
If only there's somebody else to know music that associates with social food sometimes. I wonder who would that be?
Anyway, moving on to our next track here. Oh, hey, look, it's exactly that thing that Mark was talking about. Mr. Bam Bam Baklava, Action Bronson, has announced his newest album coming out in just a couple weeks. It's due out September 25th, and it's called Only for Dolphins. Oh, sorry, Mark, guess you can't listen to it now unless you're secretly a dolphin.
Are you a dolphin?
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, hey, look at the song. It's definitely got that very tropical, breezy type of shit. You got this very uncle vibey thing, vibe shit going on with this beat produced by Budgie Beats. Even on one track I played once. Anyway, this track is what you get with Action Bronson here. Like, he always said the shit like when he landed here, your boy was standing here, kind of crazy, started the shit with standing here. Me and my wife, all nice things, swing from the chandeliers, fucking acrobatic, August Street bitch part of me. And some more or less, like, I choke you the fuck off like I'm a Diaz brother. 20 Kyle Saki's looking like Wild Horses on Stampede. Look like a character that was drawn by Stan Lee. All around the world, I know about different names. Never the real one, because motherfucker shit done changed. So the revolver, it's high new. It's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, you get the usual crazy shit of Anthony Boston with this really nice beat, and it's another solid song from him.
Yep. By the way, we forgot to mention the song is called GoldenEye. So we know Bronson has excellent taste in Nintendo 64 games. But seriously, Mark, you and I are gonna have to have a conversation after this podcast, because if I find out you were a dolphin this whole time. But anyway, time to move on to other rappers here. So, Mr. Aesop Rock, he's coming out with his first new solo album since 2016, November 13th. So, you know, a couple weeks before that, a Hatebreed album. It's called Spirit World Field Guide. And we have the lead single here, The Gates. And first off, okay, this is unrelated to the song itself. This is comment on the music video. That's the most depressing looking pizza I've ever seen. It looks like a pizza prop that someone just gave up halfway through making.
Also happened when we have cheese. Really? You could have went different topping than that. Like, I don't know. Seems kind of just lame.
Sorry, yeah. Why didn't you all top it with something like bacon and lettuce?
Oh wow!
With barbecue sauce instead of tomato sauce, but you know, enough riffing on food for now. So yeah, you get this weird intro with like two siblings and a friend that are like hunting a virtual rabbit or something, which makes sense. The beat kind of has like this minimal bleep synth vibe going on, and as expected, the wordplay and references are dense and abstract to the point of, I'm guessing there's some point about how he's a better rapper than most people. But if you can make that out through lyrics like, I'm like Vincent Van with that instant rice. I write cryptograms at all waking hours. I tattoo the mail in all paper towels. Drum roll, I might piss straight, loose tooth in my spit shake. Every possible Futurama come trooping out of his pill case. And I ricochet in my steel cage, one still heart and two Hill's eyes. Also, apparently there's a Raekwon sample there in the chorus. So, yeah, weird, vibey. I'm not sure it makes a whole lot of sense on surface level, but it at least sounds cool as shit. So, you know, it's Aesop Rock for you.
Yeah, I'm not going to try to separate this because, you know what, I might lose just doing that. But yeah, song sounds good. He sounds good. This video is weird as shit. And got him, I'm guessing, as the extra of deer or something. But yeah, this is cool as fuck.
And now we move on to our next track here. So we're about a couple weeks out from The Ocean releasing part 2 of their Phanerozoic album project, subtitled Mesozoic Cenozoic. And so we have presumably one last song here, unless they come out with something else in the next week or so, which I doubt. So this new track here is called Pleistocene, which is a time period that exists. I'm not a geology major, don't ask me. I just know riffs and drum beats and shit, and yeah, this song opens up right away with this mix of piano, synth, drums, pretty much hitting directly on like the downbeat of each measure, with these drifting violins aiding the song, you know, even as the chorus eventually descends into more, that distorted, huge, you know, grandiose post-metal territory. Kind of sounds vaguely Victorian, in a sense. A word that I totally using properly as an adjective in this context. Anyway, the heaviness does swell as the song proceeds, even culminating in kind of a super vaguely black metal-ish blast beat segment near the end. And, you know, it's a bit shorter than like the first song we talked about from them, that big 13-minute epic. But, you know, gotta mix it up here and there. This seems like it'll be a solid enough banger track in the broad scheme of things.
Mm-hmm. I give it points for the more baroque sounding orchestral sections in the track with the piano accents carrying the beat throughout. It makes for some fine prog arrangement that does grab my attention. I will try my best to take the plunge on this double album concept thing, so stay tuned for that next month, maybe.
That's gonna be fun. I should probably revisit Fenera's Oak 1 at some point. But anyway, time to move on to our next track here. So, we got a new Lucy track from Janelle Monáe here, which seems about an appropriate time to release a song, considering that her feature film role in Antebellum will finally be released on, you know, VOD. Because it's not like movie theaters are going to be able to make much money in these times. Ain't that right, Christopher Nolan? Just had to open Tenet in theaters.
Yeah.
And how's that working out for them all?
Yeah. So anyway, this new single we got here is actually from a film called All Land Private Democracy, a documentary coming to Amazon about the former governor candidate of Georgia, Stacey Adams. You know, the person who should have won there, but because of voting rights and all that bullshit that happened in Georgia.
Yeah, fuck you, Brian Kemp.
Yeah, him, fuck him too. Anyway, the track is called Turntables, and it's a very funky, funky loose track, which she both sings and raps about. I will say it is kind of political charge, kind of like it is very much because like there is all the shit you give in there. It's like it is something that you know basically highlighting of what we got to do to fix things or fix things, like, you know, how to, you know, Make sure we don't screw up and like that. But yeah, it's that type of song that we all been hearing the past couple of months that we all need to hear. Which, I mean, if you know by now, you need me to repeat it. You know what it's about. If you know what we're going through. But yeah, this is a very solid track.
Yep. Now, moving.
Can I just say one thing really quick before we move on?
Go ahead.
Okay. Mike, we're cool with you. RCJ4 comes out on vinyl and CD this week. We're cool with that. We're going to get it. But trying to cozy up to Brian Kemp on the grounds of, well, we just need to talk, doesn't fucking work when the guy has absolutely pure loathing contempt for his constituents. Kill your masters indeed. Isn't that right?
Oh boy!
Yeah. Why do you do this to us, man?
That we don't have time to fully unpack that, but yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on to our next track here, and oh hey, look, it's another collaboration between Sia and David Guetta. Y'all remember when Sia was one of those in the know music artists? The kind that only had her albums on sale at Starbucks. Feels like so long ago. But anyway, so we have this new track from this frequent pair of collaborators called Let's Love. And, well, for the song, it's... My first thought is, I see they want to make their own version of Blinding Lights. Yeah, because this is the two of them on some synthwave shit. Although it's noticeably more breezy in its vibe in comparison to, you know, what The Weeknd was trying to do. I mean, I to be fair, it's not automatically a bad thing. Again, I'm a sucker for the synths, and I guess technically speaking, this is the best song that the two of them have ever put out. Although the word technically might be doing some heavy lifting here, because it's just like, you know, I'm just not a big David Guetta guy, or big on contemporary Sia for that matter.
So anyway, Love's a Battlefield. I mean, Let's Love. Come on. No one recognized that. No one pattern. That beat pattern. Like, I'm thinking. I don't go for the 80s shit, but it sounds very fucking familiar. Every time I hear say Let's Love, I keep on thinking a Battlefield. Let's Love a Battlefield. Like.
My only contribution to this is that the last time I actually saw music on sale at Starbucks, It was back when Corinne Bailey Rae was a thing. Y'all remember her?
Oh,
kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's...
Now they just do everything through Spotify, and that's just not Damn. Fun. That's just standard. Nothing special about it.
Hashtag Daniel Ek is a chode.
Yes, always.
But that goes without saying. Anyway, time for our last song here. So, once again, it is time for the Song Machine from the Gorillaz to spit out some wonderful music for your ear holes. And interestingly, with this new song, they revealed that they are in fact compiling a new full-length project. So, yeah, the full name of this new Gorillaz album is, of course, Song Machine Season 1 Strange Times. It will, of course, include the various songs that have been released since January. You know, Momentary Bliss, The Soul, Aries, How Far, Friday 13th, Pac-Man. And, of course, there are various other contributions. You know, 11 tracks for the Standard Edition. And an additional 6 for the Deluxe Edition. With all kinds of unheard collaborations from the likes of St. Vincent, Beck, friggin' JPEG Mafia and Chai, and apparently Elton John and Six Lack on the same song. Okay. We'll see how Elton John fares, this being the third collaboration I've had to hear from them this year. But anyway, time to discuss the new song that accompanied this announcement, which is technically the title track, Strange Times, and the album opener, according to the track listing. This one features one Robert Smith of The Cure. You know, that guy that once managed to kick Barbra Streisand's ass.
Oh, remember what I said about Robert Smith last week? Was I not wrong about that?
Yeah, he's literally the size of a moon.
Yeah, and yeah. Still working all that makeup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, as for the song itself, it is a very spacey kind of vibe that they're going for here, as implied by the music video of them traveling in space in a van ship thing with Robert Smith as the moon. And of course, the bulk of the song being backed by this really wacky kind of atonal piano synth pattern. Kind of sounds like some German expressionist shit or like a 50s B movie, which continues as the song builds even more warbled synths with some vague sense of melody in parts. And I do enjoy how Damon Albarn has a more pronounced vocal presence here in comparison to, say, Robert Smith, who easily could have taken over given, you know, The Cure being a band that people still like. And yeah, Smith is mostly just here on the chorus and Damon singing about how fucked and weird everything is, from fascist politics to global warming to the coronavirus pandemic. Yeah, everything's just very strange and weird, and don't we all wish we could go to Robert Smith Moon Place to get away from it all? And yeah, it's a solid enough collaboration, and yeah, there's been a pretty consistent streak of songs here. Again, hearing this full length could make it very well the best thing they've done post-reunion at this rate. We shall see.
Maybe, yeah, I am gonna say, but yeah, this song is pretty dope. Like, I'll say for me, it's... And I'm not gonna say it's one of the strongest ones, but it's still a good solid song. I mean, out of the whole Song Machine we've been getting for the past year so far.
Mm-hmm. I just want to give mention to one line in the song in particular. I'm speeding through the forest, strange echoes of Belarus, where presidents pin badges on disconnected youth. I'm angrily pointing at our current fucking fascist dystopian hellscape right now.
Yeah. But yeah, with that out of the way, that wraps up the new song discussion. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have the news, so stay tuned. And we're back. So our first piece of news here concerns everyone's favorite topic, industry economics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always a fun thing to discuss, right? Y'all like hearing about business and sales and money.
Well, y'all leaving.
No, come back. I promise there'll be fart jokes later. Aw.
This stuff is important, all you kiddies out there.
Yeah, so important, in fact. It should probably be left to someone like Alex, who has eyes like a hawk when it comes to industry business.
I wouldn't say eyes like a hawk, just, foresight in how this whole industry works, because it doesn't work.
No, it does not.
But even though it doesn't work, the good old RIAA has released its mid-year report on, well, how the music industry is shaping up in this gesturing and everything. Surprise, surprise, streaming way up, physical sales still pretty downward, but there were some changes in the whole thing here. That for the first time since the 80s, vinyl has outsold CDs, with vinyl sales rising by 4% to $232 million, which does account for a 62% majority of physical revenue during the first 6 months of the year. But when you zoom out, that's actually about 4% of overall revenue from recorded music.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, $232 million, a majority of the total $376 million of physical sales, which is a drop of 23% year to year, mostly due to, again, everything going on. You know, people not going to music stores, no touring, no concert venues, you know, all that stuff that, for some reason, our government is just not doing anything to try and solve. At least in some areas in Europe, they're, you know, working on bailouts, like Germany. I never thought I'd say this, but can we be more like Germany, please? They at least learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
And they make those mistakes illegal to possess, but I guess that's just a pipe dream. So, yeah. As for this monolithic platform known as music streaming, yep, still on the rise. Spotify growing 12 million more premium subscribers for a global total of 138 million. Which accounts for an increase of 24% of all paid streaming subscribers from the first half of 2019 to more than 72 million. So, yeah. With total streaming revenue rising 12% year to year to $4.8 billion. And streaming actually accounts for 85% of music revenue in the first 6 months of this year, up from last year from 79%. And yet, Spotify's payouts are so, so very low.
Hashtag Daniel Ek's it showed.
Yes. Give musicians more money. Don't give Joe Rogan money to do his alien TED Talk bullcrap.
But have you ever tried DMT, though?
I don't even know what that is. I don't want to know what that is.
No. No, I don't want to know either. But anyway, moving on to the next news topic here. So, as the coronavirus pandemic has still been going on, musicians have increasingly turned to live streaming across a variety of online platforms to at least keep engaged with their audiences and, you know, try to recoup costs. So, you know, you have people on Twitch, you have people doing stuff through YouTube, you have that virtual tour thing that Suicide Silence said they were working on. You know, guys like Devin Townsend streaming songwriting sessions, all that good stuff. And of course, Facebook itself has, you know, become a platform for such things. But recently, they announced changes in regards to content policies regarding, you know, the posting of recorded and live streamed musical outputs and stuff. And there was a bit of a frenzy on social media because Facebook is a bit like YouTube. whenever they announce some shit going on, they always do it in the most deliberately vague manner possible, to where even if said change is ultimately innocuous or not that much of a change in the grand scheme of things, everything and everyone immediately self-immolates because they can't say shit in a clear and straightforward fashion. Case in point, the guidelines outlined, set to take place October 1st, vaguely prohibited posters from using, quote, videos on our products to create a music listening experience, creating with it this panicked threat that bands or labels that don't comply could have their accounts deleted. Apparently this is a rule in place to prevent copyright holders from unauthorized use of the work, but apparently those restrictions go way too far. Now, for example, some of the panic would be, say, if a member of a band, say, if I posted, like, my own band's music, I could be flagged because my personal account doesn't own the copyrights to the music. And so, you know, that could happen to any member of any band, supposedly. Now, Facebook reached out, a representative of Facebook reached out to Ghost Cult Magazine with some updates regarding the expanded guidelines as attempt to, you know, play damage control and help qualify things a bit. So, the expanded guidelines, they explain or clarify according to the following bullet points. Music in stories and traditional live music performances, example, filming an artist or band performing live, those are permitted. The greater the number of full-length recorded tracks in a video, the more likely it may be limited. Shorter clips of music are recommended, and there should be a visual component to your video. Recorded audio should not be the primary purpose of the video. So, in a sense, what it sounds like is they're trying to prevent people from posting, like, unauthorized clips of full recorded songs and full albums. So, for example, of course they say, you know, live clips from a show you went to at some point, that's perfectly fine. I got a few of those on my phone. Short clips of recorded music in a story, you know, those things that usually run like 15 or 60 seconds on, you know, your Facebook or your Instagram or whatever, all good.
Yeah, basically I do a lot.
Yeah, Mark does that a lot. A band posting their music video to Facebook as a native upload, you know, direct video upload to Facebook itself, that's also fine. Just don't post it without video and don't post full albums and you'll be fine. So effectively, you can't use Facebook as an audio streaming platform in a way that's functionally similar to Spotify or Apple Music. But yeah, that's, again, I guess that's fine. But like the fact that you had to phrase it in the most vague manner at the start and just send everyone running around and lighting stuff on fire metaphorically, maybe also literally, is just some things never change.
No. No, they don't. All Facebook had to do is say, hey, jackasses, don't bootleg albums. And we all would have understood that. But no, they had to be all fancy schmancy with their vague terminology. Basically, don't bootleg. And you should be fine, but given the internet, how the internet works, I doubt it, because we all have the good old DMCA to thank for all of the woes we deal with on the internet. For more information on the DMCA, go watch Lindsay Ellis's video on the Omegaverse. Be warned, there's nodding involved.
Yeah, don't you just love that DMCA, because why actually protect musicians and musicians' rights and all that when you could get pissy about someone uploading a Pearl Jam album cover to Twitter? I'm still mad about that, by the way.
It's all because these big platforms don't want to assume any kind of legal responsibility. So, yeah, we have to deal with the DMCA every single time.
And speaking of dodging legal responsibilities... So, yeah, you know, we're not normally one to talk about this band in an official capacity. We, you know, just riff on them in between topics and songs, but there is a topic here that is just too good to pass up. So, you'll probably notice that there's been some renewed attention to Trapped, because Chris Taylor Brown has decided to use the band's social media accounts to be a massive fucking chode. Hashtag Chris Taylor Brown is a chode as well. And amongst all of these, here's an interesting story. So, a while back, there was a post in a Facebook group called Trapped Official is a Joke. The post came from a man named Travis Livingstone, who was actually hired as a... He was hired to direct a music video for the band's recent album. You know, the one that was so top five excellent that only 600 people heard it in its first week. Now, he posted in the group that apparently the band had been dodging a payment to him. Specifically, they owe $4,000 to Livingstone for the work he did on the video. And what he posted in the group, you know, first he posted about, you know, getting, you know, screwed on payments. And now he's posting that he received an invitation from the producers of Judge Judy to appear on the show, you know, to, you know, discuss the lawsuit there. That is a twist I was not expecting. According to the notice, you know, to the letter, that while Livingstone might have difficulty collecting money as a result of the decision in a small claims court, you know, typically, by appearing on Judge Judy, he could be guaranteed that money, plus a $500 appearance fee either way. And yeah, there it is right there. You can see the screen cap of the letter embedded in this piece. He received it September 2nd, and it says, "Dear Travis, I'm a producer for the nationally syndicated, top-rated court television program, Judge Judy. On Judge Judy, small claims cases from all over the nation are arbitrated, and the decisions rendered are final and legally binding. Our field researchers have selected and brought to my attention the small claims case that you have filed in the blank small claims court against Chris Brown. The arbitrator on Judge Judy is Judith Scheinlin, retired supervising judge of the New York City Family Court, where she served for 15 years. She is a renowned jurist and author of two books. Her distinguished career has been profiled on a number of programs, including 60 Minutes. As you probably know, even if you win your case in the small claims court, the court cannot guarantee that you will collect your money in a timely fashion, if ever. If, however, you choose to arbitrate your case on Judge Judy and win, we guarantee that you will receive the money awarded to you by the arbitrator within 30 days and an appearance fee of $500. Please call me at number redacted or email me as soon as possible if you are interested in the possibility of arbitrating your case on Judge Judy. Also, feel free to email me a quick statement about your case and I will get in touch with you as soon as possible. I look forward to hearing from you soon."
For the record, Judge Judy isn't just a top-rated show on TV. It's the top-rated syndicated show on TV. Like, it makes a ton of money. And, yeah, I mean, as we all know, with this C.T. Brown, because we have to differentiate, since he's so into showing his own ass nowadays... Sure, what's $500 for an appearance fee? We all know he needs it.
Yeah, because where the hell else is he making his money from? I mean, Lord knows he probably ain't getting shit from Spotify or Pandora, where they totally have over 2 million monthly listeners.
Oh, by the way, just for the record, because... Luke from Rocked Again did a video about streaming payouts for music. Yeah, to put it simply, Pandora to Spotify, it's 3-1 in how many more streams you need to make $1. And considering you only have one song that gets played probably by a certain number of people at any given time, you're not making that much money. After all, if you were making that much money, you wouldn't have had to go play at Sturgis. And update, it went from bad to holy fucking shit.
Yeah.
It's what we call a super spreader, which in simple terms would be a fuckface von clown shoes rally. You're all gonna die. I hope it was worth it.
Yeah, nothing better than dying to catch Buck Cherry and Trapped. But, at least Trapped won't have caused that many cases, because according to the photos, barely anyone showed up. But, anyway, with that obligatory weekly roasting out of the way, now we have our last topic here. A couple weeks back, we did talk about the revelations of the 2020 XXL freshman class, and now we have the Cyphers. Which, straight observation here, I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but I was listening to the Cyphers, and it hit me that Baby Keem doesn't show up in any of these.
Yeah, that's the thing I was going to say. Baby Keem does not show up at all on any of these Cyphers. We've got three videos, like three artists on one, and four on the next, on the other two. And, I was disappointed that he didn't show up. Anyway, first of all, the roster we got number one. We got Jack Harlow, Little Keed, and Polo G. All the beat made by Jetson Made. Yes, Jetson Made. And notice how well we have to follow social distancing rules and shit. I think there's like a robo camera or some shit. Anyway, let's get the Mr. Jack Harlow, and I gotta say he's okay, I guess. I mean, his verse is kind of like old time and shit. At least that's what I got from it. He got okay flow, I guess.
Yeah,
I will say that was better than him. Okay, go on.
The only thing that really stands out about his bars are the two random-ass references he makes to, you know, TV shows you would watch in your youth. Flow relaxed, but it ain't on Xan. I'm teed up like Jake Austin. Get it? Because Jake Austin's middle initial is T. Why is he referencing the kid from Wizards of Waverly Place, who apparently also voices Diego in those Dora spinoffs? Jake T. Austin.
I couldn't tell you, but I guess referencing Selena Gomez would have been too on the nose.
It's like when Migos wrote that song Hannah Montana. But also there's the other line, Ciroc Cranberry, my shit classic Tom and Jerry. If your shit's classic, then why are you rapping over trap beats instead of, like, I don't know, a fucking Stevie Wonder sample or something? That's classic.
I can say this. It was better than Little Keith's version Cypher, which, well, you can tell that he's a feeling with Young Thug, isn't he? He got the high voice, the very squeaky voice, and like, okay, wow, his voice is like, even, I think it's like, I'm getting lazy. Like, you are getting out of lazy with this verse. I couldn't fuck with it, to be honest. It was like,
Yeah, Keed is just there.
And you get the Paul G, and like kind of tradition, I guess, the beat stops and he just does it like a cappella.
Yeah, I've been meaning to wonder, how do they determine which rapper gets the no beat cypher? Or do they just pick out of a hat?
Yeah, that's what I kind of wonder. It's like how like last year you got Tierra Whack doing the no beat thing with her, and I don't know. I mean, I will say out of all the three, His was the most serviceable, to be honest. He had a good verse, but yeah, he's what I thought of his fathers, you know, what he brought. All right, next up we got the Cyphers of L.E. Choppa, Rod Wave, Little TJ, and Chica.
Yeah,
not be confused with the other Chica, let's start with L.E. Choppa. Well, he's there. I'm gonna be honest, we might say that a lot during this,
that they're just there, I will point out a couple lines in specific. This one just kind of baffles me. Lord forgive me, I'm a sinner and a winner, rocking chinchilla, eating that dinner. Okay, so I'm guessing that it's supposed to be either a clothing brand or he just wears clothes made from chinchilla skin. But with that phrasing, when he follows up eating that dinner, it sounds like he's eating South American rodents for his dinner. Like, is that a thing? Do people cook chinchillas? Is that a cuisine of South American countries? I don't know.
I ain't got no idea.
And then eyes real low. I look like an Asian. Pour up a four when I move in the Matrix.
Okay. Anyway, next up we got Rod Rave, and he's a little bit better. He got sort of a sing songy flow in him, and okay, I do kind of dig his voice. I mean,
his verse is mostly just, you know, the rags to riches type of cipher, living with his cousin after getting kicked out of a house, a shitty air mattress, car problems, stuff like that.
Yeah, things like that. Which is still okay, right? But like, you know, kind of like, you know, how you got from here the way you are now, which is kind of like, you know, kind of like you got to do that. But yeah, he does well. And then we got Chica, and with her dog. Dog just fucking chilling, like, all right, he's like.
He's just vibing.
Yeah. And I'm gonna say, like, I think she got the best one out of all of them. Like, all of them, at least, to be honest to me. She doesn't got a good voice. I mean, a voice when I'm rapping, though. Like, yeah, I can actually tell you, she did turn that beat, though. Like, yeah, it is good, though.
Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, I got some support from somebody who's actually from this state and, well, can do it well. Which, I guess, yay this state. No, I'm not doing that shit, no. but she did good. And little TJ, well, maybe another rapper who's got a very squeaky voice. And that's all I got. Like, I don't know, I mean, I don't want to say he's terrible. I don't think he's bad. He's just, I don't know. Again, he's there.
Yeah. Again, another one that's just there. Anyway, yeah. Last round here.
We got Mulatto, Triple K Golden, Fivio Foreign, and Cowboy. First of all, Mulatto, who, even though this was an album last month, and I think I said it was okay. At least I gave it was a, like, I say, it's fine. Her verse was pretty good. Like, she does, it is like another, like, you know, like a whole, like, you know, come up type of thing. Make all money just to survive right there. Like, okay, which I get. But I gotta say, it's decent to me. This is what I thought of it.
Don't forget about all the sex bars. I make him slurp me Alfredo. Okay. He eat me out in a raincoat. Pussy like lean, I put him to sleep. I don't gotta rap about sex, but this shit way too good not to brag on. And then openly admits that she would be totally down to fuck 5EO Foreign, which I can only assume maybe happened once the camera stopped rolling. I'm not saying it did, but there is a non-zero chance that that's what happened.
Probably. Yeah, it probably happened, but yeah. Okay, yeah, but yeah, like I said, it's pretty okay. We'll say for 24K Golden, yes, that's his name without the E. I do appreciate him giving the positive shout out to the other people here, like, okay. Peace of all the people, including Mulatto, who said, she's my queen, like, you know, she's a queen, like, that type of shit, which, okay, I can respect that about him. It's like, his versus, again, middling to me, I guess. At least what I thought.
Yeah.
Fivio Foreign, I feel like I know he's more of a drill rapper. He's more like, I'm guessing, like, out of New York drill scene. I don't think he's comfortable rapping on a chef guitar beat. Like, I feel like most of the time he's doing ad libs for everybody else. And then another is like, he just, I don't know, he sounds like he's uncomfortable on this, or he just, or he can't do it as well. It's like if he needed a different beat or something.
Yeah.
And then we have Cowboy, and his voice is, well, I don't say his case is very familiar, as in, I want to say high pitched rappers, more like very like with the high voice rapper, like. That's what it sounds to me like any of those rappers like rapping about, like, and of course he does make a reference to Pol G, as I pulled up by the cap a lot, because he goes by Cap a lot, or he got an album called Cap a lot. Like, anyway, something about Cap a lot sounds like Camelot, but anyway, I'm gonna say it right now, the cycle this year has been kind of just there. It's just there's nothing that really just not even the worst moves is like either laugh at or get hyped up by. It's like it's no little mosey. But then again, it's no Meg Thee Stallion or Rico Nasty or Tierra Whack. And even though we, I would say out of all the 11 people in here, 11 people, I say, shit, who I say would be the best one? I wonder. Maybe Chica. I mean, I'd be biased because I say her verse is pretty good. Then Polo G. Maybe Mulatto. Third. Shit. This is the thing, like, these cyphers are just like I said, they don't always determine how rapper will be like in the future, because we all know, like, last year you got success from people like The Baby, Meg Thee Stallion, Roddy Ricch, and shit, who else? I'm talking like big success, like the ones I just named, but here I don't really feel as much like energy. Maybe it was the whole thing of, you know, pandemic shit, like, too, like, it's not much of a hype crowd. It's like it's at a very, very 5 out of 10. That's what I'm getting from this year's cyphers.
Yeah, there's just nothing. There's barely anything here to grasp onto. But whatever, you know, we'll see how the next year or so plays out with all these guys. We'll see how many people are TikToking to 24K Golden's shit, as he so says himself. Yeah. But
I think he got a song called, what's the song called? Mood. Oh yeah, Mood.
Huh. Anyway, with that out of the way, we've already discussed all the news. Now it's time to move on to the last piece of topic. Fucking shit, if I could talk tonight. But yeah, the last topic here, the new album releases for the week of September 18th, 2020. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from grind veterans Napalm Death with Throes of Joy in the Jaws of Defeatism. We have the newest album from Doom Sludge Metaller Sumac titled May You Be Held. We have a new one from alternative metal act 10 Years with Violent Allies. It's been a while since I've thought about that name. We have a new one from Indie Rockers Cults with Host. Apparently, we're getting Volume 3 of Mike Shinoda's Dropped Frames project this Friday. There's a new Joyner Lucas EP called Evolution. Alright. And last but not least, we have a new self-titled album from Alicia Keys, just called Alicia. So now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can you be found on the internet?
As always, right now in various Discord servers or of Azure, like in the Rocks Discord server. I hang out there quite often, because we're all a bunch of hooligans in there.
Yeah, hooligans that are discussing bad music and filtering it my way. Y'all gotta have some restraints sometimes. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Matt Media, Discord at Mac2Hybrid, Instagram at Mac2.0. There's a lot of things. Also, my site, mindhyperwordpress.com. Yeah, it might have something up soon. I don't know. I'm doing a lot of writing, so yeah.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, at Rob Barracuda. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. All the only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the weekend, so subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell tab so you're notified when stuff goes up there. Also, remember to email me, robert@surorresolution.com, for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to follow the website at surorreso on Twitter, like us on Facebook, visit the website so you can find this podcast, podcast ONA, written articles, all that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord to shitpost spicy memes and complain about sports. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We will, of course, see you next week. And until then, honestly, cranberry Ciroc sounds fucking nasty.